first couple verses again as what we're going to focus on. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. As we think about, as a congregation, where we're going and what God has in store for us and what we are to do, we know what the mission of the church is: go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to command all that I have taught you, Jesus says. We need to realize that whether or not we understand the ways of the Lord, we can trust what His Word says, and His Word will do what it says. And it's not us that's doing it, it's God's Word. God's Word has power in and of itself, and it accomplishes what His plan is. Luther says this about this passage. He is speaking of ways and thoughts which have to do with the Word. Rain and snow are not useless, but they water the earth, giving seed to the sower. And rain can achieve everything for the earth. When we experience the absence of rain, we see what this earth produces. Nothing. So if He takes away the glory of the earth, and shows that it is not the earth that does it, but it is accomplished by the rain. So our building of the church is not the result of our works, but by the Word of God which we preach. This is all because of the Word, which is a heavenly, holy Word, which no one can praise enough. For it has and is able to do all that God is and can do. Well, I can't say it any better than Martin Luther did, but I'm going to try to at least give you a little bit of context here. In Isaiah's time, Isaiah is writing, and he writes a book, 66 chapters, right? Well, here we are in chapter 55, and he's laying out for the people a description of what's going to happen. He prophesies to them, to these people for whom life looks bleak. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel, I should say, has been split into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom has been obliterated by the Assyrian army. And they've threatened the southern kingdom as well. And God's going to rescue them from the Assyrians, but it's going to be like from the frying pan into the fire. Because the Babylonians are coming next. And they're going to take the people of Israel, the people of Judah, into captivity. Exile. You know what happens when an ancient people like that's carried off into exile? Well, almost always, that's the end of them. But Isaiah prophesies that they will be returned. They will be returned to their homeland. Brought back out of exile. Brought, restored. And then he says how. It's going to be through a servant of God. A suffering servant. And he gives a long description of the suffering servant, which just concludes right before our passage here. How's God going to do that? Sometimes it's hard to see. And then what's God going to do? This text is kind of like a hinge point that says, this is what's going to happen. This is what God's going to do to bring you to this point. And then He's going to restore you. He's going to restore you through this suffering servant. And then I'm going to tell, and then he's going to tell you who God is and describe God's very nature and God, how God works and what God's purpose is and what God's end plan is. That's the book of Isaiah in a nutshell. So our text here says, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return but water the earth," God's got a plan. And he says, look at the water. I brought some water along with me here today for you to see. This is water from the Jordan River in Israel. Don't drink it, okay? It's just been flowing through the desert, and it's got picked up a lot of other stuff. But where did this water come from? It came as rain or snow on Mount Hermon or one of the mountains in Judea and maybe flowed down into the Sea of Galilee and then down the Jordan River on its way to the Dead Sea. That's where it was, and somewhere by Jericho, some enterprising young pastor reached into the Jordan River, filled up a water bottle, and pulled it out. Young, good-looking pastor. I was there right next to him. These droplets of water could have come from anywhere, right? There's nothing magical about the Jordan River or the water that's in the Jordan River. Those droplets of water could have been evaporated out of the Mediterranean Sea, probably were. 100 years before that, they could have been going down the Niagara River. Doesn't matter what molecule of water is there, God's got a purpose for it. God's got a purpose for all that rain that we received last week. Some of it was to water plants. That's the example that Isaiah gives. Water to water plants to make life grow. This week I was reading a book about the water cycle. Hence, you know, our sermon today. The water cycle, how God has this plan for where the water starts and where it goes, and after it hits the ground, some of it evaporates back up to go water somewhere else. Some of it goes to a plant. Some of it goes to flood your backyard. There's a purpose in that too. Some of it goes to give you life. Because some of that water that goes to a plant feeds you. Or feeds an animal that you're going to eat. To give you strength. To water your life. To bring life to you. And there's a carbon cycle and a carbon dioxide cycle and an oxygen cycle, all that air that you breathe, your body uses it. That little molecule, and then gets rid of another molecule. All of this is for life. And God compares his word to water here, the cycle of water, because it brings life. God's word brings life. It brings life to you. And he says, it doesn't return to me empty. That rain that comes down and evaporates again in that cycle, there's a purpose in there. And it does something in between. Some of it gets captured to become a little object lesson for you here today. Some of God's word gets, I hope, gets captured in your hearts here today to do something in your life. Because God's word is active and powerful. Why? Because it's the truth. The truth makes a difference. The truth makes a difference in your life. And God's word is truth. In Lutheran circles, we talk about law and gospel. We divide God's word into law and gospel. Well, how does the law change your life? Well, it tells you who you are. It tells you what's right and wrong. The truth, God's truth of what's right and wrong. Sometimes we don't like hearing that. So we cover our ears. Or we stop listening. Which is just covering your ears. And we're cutting ourselves off from God's word of life. And sometimes, when we get too much rain, it seems like, well, we get flooded. It seems like that's all that we can see. All I can see is God's judgment in my life. Things aren't going right in my life. I'm sick, or somebody in my family is sick, or has died. Or things sure aren't going the way I've planned them to go. In my life, or my family's life, or my friend's life. Things aren't going the right way. Well, look at Jesus' parable. Rocky soil. A path where it just gets eaten up. Thorny soil. There's a lot of thorns in my life. There's a lot of thorns in your life. It's not just easy. And then there's the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. What is that good news? That God's got a plan. God's got a plan through Jesus Christ. That suffering servant we talked about earlier, that's Jesus. Where did he suffer and die? In Jerusalem. On the cross. For you and for me. Where he takes that curse upon himself for your sake. And he gives to you something instead called life and forgiveness. That changes your life. God's word of life and promise and forgiveness changes your life. Changes it eternally. Things looked bleak for the people of Israel, especially when they were exiled. But God brought them back and restored them. Now they couldn't see how or when, but he came and he did it. Things looked bleak when Jesus was preaching there on the seashore in Galilee. The Romans were oppressing us. And Jesus comes and says, here's the kingdom of God. Who's coming to you? The reign and rule of God is here among you, and I'm bringing a part of it. I'm going to bring it to fruition. But what about the rocky soil? And what about the path? And what about the thorny soil? The sower keeps sowing. He keeps sowing God's word to you. Some days, maybe your life is like the rocky path. Some days, maybe you are being choked by the cares of the world, the thorns around you. What's God's purpose? To reverse the curse of sin. What does this sound like to me? It sounds like that curse from Genesis 3, you know, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to earn your bread, Adam. But what does he say? His word of promises? Rain. Rain is going to come. So it's not by the droplets of sweat on your head. It's going to be God's work bringing salvation back to you. Reversing that curse. And instead of thorns and briars coming up, which is what grows in my garden, I'm going to bring myrtle and cypress and all the good plants that you need. God's going to bring it to you so that you're not laboring in vain, so that you're not laboring fruitlessly for that which does not satisfy. He's going to come and bring this to you through Jesus Christ. That's His promise. And He's going to keep on sowing. He's got as much seed as you want, more than you want. And He's going to keep on sowing for you in your life with the Word of God. That's what you came here for. That's what you came here for today, to hear the Word of God, that it may change your life and give hope and peace and joy to you. Through the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. You receive that today from the words that Marilyn was reading. You receive that in God's word of promise attached to His own body and blood given and shed for you, so that you can taste and see and feel His forgiveness in your life. So you don't have to face the thorns and the briars and the rocky paths of this life alone. There's hope for you. There's life and peace for you through Jesus Christ. And He's going to keep sowing that word in your life. It's here every Sunday. It's here in your Bible every day. And there's one more thing. He's going to make you part of that. He asks you to sow some of His good word in your life. By sharing a word of encouragement and gospel about who Jesus is and what God is doing. What God is doing in your life and in the lives of other people. Forgiving you, giving you hope and peace and promise. God's purpose is to reverse this curse. And what does He say here about your part in it? Let's read it. For you shall go out in joy. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. This is your part. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing. And it's good singing, not pastor singing. It's good sounding, like the choir. Good singing. Can you imagine that? The mountains and the hills break forth into singing because of you. And because all you're doing is sharing God's word. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I can't wait to see that. This is what our new creation is going to look like. This is what you are a part of. This is what you are a part of as a Christian. You're born into that. You're reborn into that as a son or daughter of God. So, Pastor, how does this all relate to the vision for Holy Cross and what Holy Cross's purpose is here? These molecules of droplets of water, they're in the Jordan River for a time. They pass through the Jordan River. Somebody scoops them up and brings them here for a purpose. They're serving a purpose in the Jordan River. watering the grass along the sidelines, the weeds. They serve a purpose, pushing the next droplet of water along. They serve a purpose, being evaporated and rained somewhere else to grow a plant for you to eat. They serve a purpose where they are. And so do you. Every one of you is a little droplet or water molecule serving God's purpose for a time in a place. And we're collected here like this bottle of water to serve a purpose here and now in Western New York in 2017 for the rest of your lives here, or our and my mortal lives, right here. God's purpose to reverse the curse. And our job is simply to scatter that seed. Scatter the seed. The Word of God, His Word of law and gospel, which has power and which accomplishes His purpose, His saving purpose. And not to worry about if it falls on rocky ground or thorny ground. We're not supposed to figure out where the good soil is. Spread it. Because we don't know what's good soil and what isn't. We don't know in whose life it might be rocky or in whose life it might be thorny. It doesn't matter. The power is in God's Word alone. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, pointing to the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of His resurrection, which grants us eternal life. What more could there be than that? In Jesus' name, amen.